Well, Todd, thanks for sitting down with the College of William & Mary Hip Hop Collection and becoming a charter member.
Thank you very much.
Mm-hmm. So to start things off, would you mind just introducing yourself?
My name is Todd Van Gooling. I'm the station manager for WCW on College Radio, and I believe I'm also speaking as a contemporary culture chair for AMP.
Okay. Where did you, would you mind giving me sort of a rough sketch, family history, where'd you grow up, stuff like that?
Yeah, I grew up in Herndon, Virginia, Fairfax County, in 1991. I'm 21 years old.
Okay, that's good. So describe to me what was it like to grow up there?
It's fine. I went to a Christian preschool and a Catholic private school until 8th grade,
mm-hmm.
and then ended up making the choice to go to a public school for high school,
mm-hmm.
just like the Herndon High. And that was definitely a pretty drastic transition. But
in what way?
Well, going from a very religious, very strict, conservative place to a place that was almost like a different
mm-hmm.
civilization or different culture,
mm-hmm.
and it was one that appealed to me much more. So I ended up not kind of going along with what a lot of the things I had been taught
mm-hmm.
For a lot of my life. But being in a public school in Herndon just kind of exposed me to a lot more than the private school when. I mean, everyone was white, and everyone was
in the private school.
Yeah.
Okay, and then so, in terms of just sort of demographic diversity, at high school, it was diverse.
Yeah, it was much more diverse. In all aspects of that, whether
okay.
it be social or economic or
right.
race.
Okay, so that's if you wouldn't mind, give me a sense of like the demographics of Herndon. I mean, you say Fairfax County, and so that obviously
yeah.
brings to mind that, you know, wealthy area, Northern Virginia, but, pardon me, but in terms of, I mean, how did that sort of affect the composition of what Herndon was?
Herndon's a little bit different because it's sort of a magnet area for immigrant labor. So there are certainly the people who are still very rich there, but there also are people who are just kind of starting their lives here in America, and it definitely sometimes there's cultural strife, but
oftentimes,
like it goes well and there's some sort of mixing, I guess.
What sort of I guess community cultural events do you remember? Because the way that you know describe. What Herndon was, it sounds like there could be some really cool, interesting stuff that could take place in Herndon.
Yeah, I mean, it's still a suburb,
mm-hmm.
So they don't have too much culture going on there.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they certainly have, like, your typical, like, town, like, I don't know, like, cover band come and play, or
mm-hmm.
your food tasting sorts of things.
Right.
And at those places, like, the people from all sorts of walks of life are coming, which is interesting, but there weren't many, there wasn't, like, a venue in town. There was a venue for, like, a year where student bands would play. I never made it out to that, but they're really, it's still a suburb, but it wasn't, like, it was too interesting.
Okay. So, in terms of exposure or involvement in any way with hip hop culture through elementary, middle school, high school. What was that like for you?
There wasn't too much actually. And I remember, the first exposures were certainly when I was younger and just like watching MTV, TRL,
mm-hmm.
like stuff like that, which isn't like the best. But certainly a very, like, popular
mm-hmm.
way people came about it. So just, like, listening to Hot 99.5 and things like that. I would say there wasn't a huge hip-hop culture where I was growing up, but there wasn't really a huge any music culture, so I don't think it was specific to hip hop.
Okay, yeah, yeah. I mean, it, again, sort of the trope of the suburbs in terms of just popular is popular, sure. And that's sort of where it starts and ends in a lot of ways.
I don't think there was. I think there is people who certainly were making music and mm-hmm. certainly were like writing songs, but there was no outlet for them to mm-hmm. play. I don't mm-hmm. remember. There wasn't a house that was hosting shows mm-hmm. or mm-hmm. anything like that.
So, what then is was your first memory of hip hop?
Very first, it's probably like Eminem or something like that. Mm-hmm. Nothing too special.
And again, was it? I mean, again, it just sort of, you know, a single that one of his singles
yeah,
when he was a, you know yeah. gigantic or
yeah, it was probably a music video I saw on mm-hmm. TV or VH1.
And so was there a difference in terms of I mean, not just hip hop, but I guess popular cultural consumption between sort of Catholic school and then switch to the public school?
You weren't really allowed to like a lot of things mm-hmm. In the Catholic school, so just being able to like something or not be like wronged for liking something definitely opened up a lot of doors.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So, I mean, it was something where prohibited to talk about it during school?
Maybe not prohibited to talk about it, and like at the school dances, like they'd still play things like Outkast and stuff like that. But
so everybody's like, well, was there like the balloon held between everyone? Like you can only get this close.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
I remember like the very like cliche like, oh, make room for the Holy Spirit. Like,
right. So that's true.
Yeah,
okay.
I never heard those words.
Oh, that's great. That's wild. Okay.
So it was certainly there, but more as like this is popular music instead of you're listening to hip hop, if that makes sense.
Yeah, yeah, no,
like,
totally.
Hip hop was almost like shamed as mm-hmm. this other thing.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Okay, so I guess I'm assuming that you know you're interested in hip hop, but number one, but so I mean, if we're going to go off that assumption, how did you get interested in hip hop?
I think it kind of came in two waves. One was when I was still younger and in private school, it was kind of just this other thing. Mm-hmm. And I guess it was kind of just naturally exciting. Mm-hmm. It was popular music and oftentimes more dance-based, obviously. Mm-hmm. So that was exciting. Then I went through the kind of phase of getting into classic rock and like thinking hip hop's like stupid and mm-hmm. like it's like a lesser form than like Paul McCartney or something mm-hmm. like that. Mm-hmm. And then I got into, well, that's kind of like a stupid way to think, and got into more like indie pop, like more newer bands. Mm-hmm. Still kind of like not really getting into hip hop, but like I guess being more accepting of it. Mm-hmm. And then eventually, late high school and early college, it just kind of clicking and being like, oh, like this is actually like really good and like exciting, and a lot mm-hmm. of things are going on here. Mm-hmm. I guess I was just kind of taught to like not really respect it, I guess. Mm-hmm. And it just took a while to kind mm-hmm. of get what was going on there. And I don't fully get it still mm-hmm. with anything, but
yeah. I mean, it's interesting. Well, a couple things I want to question about, but the first thing, I'm curious about. You know, I'm saying that something clicked, like you got it. Like, could you expand on that a little bit?
I can certainly try. I think there was a moment when I realized that something like the Beastie Boys or Outkast, I didn't just like because it was like kind of stupid and silly, mm-hmm. but I actually legitimately liked it, and mm-hmm. What they were doing was they were doing something interesting there that had the same values I was finding in this other music I liked.
Mm-hmm. So in terms of especially if we sort of follow it down that as you were talking about, that started getting interested in indie music and things like that. So was there, I mean, an affinity in terms of like outsider music in some way that you understood?
Was hip-hop appealing because it was outsider?
Part of the thing in terms of, you know, moving away from classic rock and starting to explore sort of independent stuff or things that are sort of outside the mainstream? I mean, hip-hop, even though hip-hop itself has become very mainstream, and Outkast and Beastie Boys are very mainstream, sure. There's still that patina of outsider-ness to
them. Right. I'm sure that played into it. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay, well, yeah. I mean, definitely don't let me put words, you know. I mean, we can say you're stupid, Kevin. okay. So that was interesting. But also, curious about, you mentioned that in some ways you were taught to think less of hip hop, or
I don't think anyone active. Well, maybe there were. I think, especially in the early 2000s, the popular hip hop was things like 50 Cent, or Eminem for that matter, when they were the themes of it were pretty negative, mm-hmm. Violent, I guess. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So being in a Christian conservative school and having Christian conservative parents, like, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. simply wasn't what they. It was like, don't listen to that. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So I guess I wasn't exposed to enough hip hop to see there was other things going
right,
on.
Right.
So I kind of see like hip hop is 50 Cent.
Right,
and,
right.
And I kind of just mm-hmm. That's all I knew.
Right. Yeah, I mean, definitely, well, especially, you know, that are in terms of, if they're the biggest sellers, that's what's being promoted,
sure.
And that's going to make...
And I mean, I think it's all my parents and or, like, the teachers knew, too, so, like, at one hand, like...
Exactly, yeah.
I'm not faulting them, I'm mm-hmm. just saying this.
So, I mean, that's interesting. So, as you've sort of developed your interests and also sort of extracurricular activities at college in terms of the radio station and also with AMP and becoming interested in hip-hop and appreciating it and doing it. I mean, not to say that there's tension in the family, but I mean, is it something where your folks have been like, I don't understand what you see in this or anything like that?
Yeah, I suppose so. It's not a big deal, mm-hmm. But I definitely don't play certain albums, whether it be hip hop or indie rock albums,
right,
just
because
like I know they either won't get it or like it, or they'll be like, I mean, they don't want to listen to someone swearing, simple things like that.
And in terms of friends growing up and friends currently, are they interested in hip hop? Are they fans of hip hop?
I don't have too many friends who are obsessed with hip-hop specifically, but are certainly obsessed with music, mm-hmm. Is just kind of a more broader term. I certainly had friends who are very into hip-hop. Mm-hmm. I'd say most of my friends are more just kind of general music obsessive, so.
Right. Okay, so, I guess good a time as any to ask you just sort of, how would you define hip-hop?
I'm really, my favorite kind of songs are, well-informed, pop songs, mm-hmm. and I think hip-hop very well plays into that, where, oftentimes you have a beat that's going to be danceable and accessible, mm-hmm. and then through this very accessible thing, you can get into, higher level or deeper ideas, mm-hmm. And I'm really interested in, like, that juxtaposition concept, either in music or in literature or mm-hmm. whatever. Mm-hmm.
Okay, so so what comes to mind when you hear the phrase hip-hop at William & Mary?
Fairly non-existent, but I think that's a broader problem of a strong music culture being hurting. I think it's music culture in general is more existent than a hip-hop culture. But even the music culture here is pretty small. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, there's few outlets, there's few performers, which is, I mean, kind of a, when there's no outlets, there's no performers.
Right, right. So, you know, so let's, if you wouldn't mind, talk about, a little more in depth, some of the stuff that you've been involved with in terms of both AMP and the radio station.
In regards to hip-hop, or?
Well, yeah, well, I guess at the radio station, you know, does the radio station play hip-hop?
Yeah, we have a, we have a hip-hop director every year. It's, as with any director position, it's hit or miss how good they are. The station also, when we throw concerts, we have thrown hip-hop concerts before, and we certainly put hip-hop albums on A-list and give them heavy rotation if we like them.
What, you know, in terms of spotlighting or putting on shows with Virginia or local hip-hop talent, who have you worked with or put on before?
We had a Streets last year. We've had a Shakespeare's Ghost, who's a bit older. That's
got it.
Yeah, for local talent, I think that's about it. We've had a few other outsiders. Can I help you find something?
Sorry, no, I'm just looking for the candy. I don't know what I did with it. Okay. So
I might be missing something. Missing someone.
Yeah, no, I mean, that's okay. And in terms of the sort of longer history of the radio station, is there a sense of what the radio station has played or spotlighted or been interested in terms of a longer history in connection with hip-hop?
Yeah, I mean, one of the stories that's certainly been passed down for radio is that the Wu-Tang Clan once offered to buy all of our vinyl, and that's like a proud story that everyone tells. So I think just that the fact that people like want to brag about something like that shows that there is some sort of inherent interest in that.
Well, what, I mean, is there a particular way that the story is told with salient details? And if so, do you want to sort of put on your storyteller hat and then sort of lay that out?
I mean, part of it, I think the story is just told as like a bragging sort of thing. But I think what I was getting at is just that it's bragging that this hip-hop artist wanted our vinyl collection. Like that we had this interaction with this very big hip-hop artist, I guess is what I was trying to get at.
Yeah, because I mean, I've definitely, you know, heard versions of it. I've heard that it was like offered like $10,000, $20,000, I mean, variety of...
Yeah, I don't know the exact... I wish I could put on my storyteller hat, but it's gotten to a point where I don't know the exact story.
Yeah, in fact, there's... in the area, it's called, Ground Up Radio. You know, they're actually... Dell is now on with Alex.
Yeah.
You know, that they're doing a hip-hop show, but I took... the other guy ground up, so it's this guy Q and this guy Dell, and so he came in because he wanted to take pictures of the records at the radio station, just so that, you know, he could then say this is where RZA wanted to buy all the records. So yeah, I mean, yeah, it's definitely a point of pride. Okay, so I guess just in terms of some of the technical details of what it means to be the station director. I mean, like, what are your duties, and how did you become? I mean, I'm just sort of curious about that.
Okay. Duties, just like on a, like, the most basic, like, side is kind of appointing the other directors, so just kind of making a decision on that, and then managing these directors. And the directors are things like the music directors who are getting in the music and deciding what will be kind of voted on to be on the radio, or like a training director for like getting new people, stuff like that. And then it also involves quite a bit of just meeting with the administration and making sure like things are going smoothly with that, or meeting with things like the Publications Council and making sure we're getting the funding continued, or if we have projects, like making sure stuff like that continues. So like that's like the base level of it. I think the station manager is more just the role kind of, if the radio needs something, like the station manager kind of is that leadership figurehead that fills that role. So like right now, radio, college radio specifically, is struggling a lot to kind of figure out its identity and figure out how to maintain cultural relevance when people don't really listen to college radio. So my mission has been kind of how do we figure that out, and how do we kind of build, or like we have a very strong college radio community, but like how do we maintain and build that when like the heart of what we do is not something that had the same taste making, same maybe importance in a college community. So just kind of figuring out problems like that, and then like, so some ways I've done that is by doing events, or like we're trying to develop a WCW MTV so that some of the people have a different medium for getting the radio, or or trying to get it in people's minds that the game we're playing isn't necessarily the most like listeners, but like radio is more something like or a cultural or music community, and that's what radio is. And radio is always at the heart, but like, I mean, there's a laundry list of things, but I think the station manager is more just like, if there's a problem or something that needs to happen with college radio in like the broadest sense, like the station manager is the one who like tries to tackle that.
So, you know, you mentioned in terms of being the person that's in charge of you know, appointing the other directors and then sort of managing them. How do you decide who gets to be the director of, I assume that, you know, well, I know that there's a director of hip hop, you know, the different genre directors. Like, I mean, how do you decide who gets to be
who? Well, there is a, some sort of application process, but a lot of time, I mean, certainly when I was deciding, I reached out to people thinking like, I think you'd be really good for this position. I think you should apply. So even though there's application process, it is partially just, I think this person would be good. I mean, how I decided was certainly merit, or like if they've been dedicated members of the station, like that certainly factors in. But I mean, for a hip hop director, like ideally it would be someone who like clearly has been a part of the station and like would like be dedicated to it, but also obviously has a hip hop background and would be able to talk about it and promote it.
And in terms of, I'm curious in terms of sort of guidelines or rules in terms of what you can play on the radio, what exists?
We do have to follow the FCC rules, so swearing can't happen before 10 p.m. in the songs. After 10 p.m. You can have explicit music playing.
Really?
But DJs can never break FCC rules even after 10 p.m. So you can't swear or make certain like sexual comments and stuff like that.
And in terms of acting as the as the manager, the point man, in terms of going between radio station and the college administration and things like that, has there ever been a sense of what they expect out of you? I mean, in terms of content of songs or music, or
who expects
the college as an institution?
I mean, certainly, there's the whole like, I think a lot of the college community has had an aversion to college radio, and there's been the hipster stigma for the last, I mean, almost 6-7 years now. So like certainly before my time here, that existed. And then people will say like, maybe I would listen if you were playing more pop music. By and large, I that doesn't really come up. I think we can pretty much, I mean, we do play whatever we want, and we don't really get called on it.
Okay, so I mean, not only as campus culture, but then also formally in terms of, I don't know, do you report to like dean of students or something like that?
It used to be Mark Constantine.
He's gone. Yeah,
like Anita, but now he's gone. So now it's kind of unclear who we report to. Sort of Ann Arsenault. I think Trissy, who's the head of AMP, is now sort of taking on that role as okay. well. But right now we're kind of in a lawless state.
Okay, so you're on the edge there. You're outlaws. So that's sort of the radio bit. I want to switch and talk a little bit more about your time with AMP and not only what AMP does, but we'll obviously run it down first in terms of hip hop. So, sense of AMP's history, and then of course it's gone through a few name changes. But do you have a sense of the history in terms of bringing hip hop acts to campus?
I think they're pretty few and far between unless they're big names. Mm-hmm. So like Big Sean happened and mm-hmm. like the Roots the year before and like Kanan and Wale and things like that, and obviously Kendrick Lamar and mm-hmm. D-Boy this year. But I think that's more bringing a pop act, and I think the goal of that is bringing a big mm-hmm. name instead mm-hmm. of a hip hop act necessarily.
Right.
Because you look at like Fridays at 5 and it's like almost never, if not never, a hip hop act.
Mm-hmm. So, okay, so I mean that obviously you sort of nicely anticipated talking about this year's big concert of Big Boy and Kendrick Lamar. So I want to just sort of walk me through, how did that come about? I mean, how did you decide that that those are even folks that you were like, we're going to get these folks?
Yeah. It's kind of a long process. Kind of a political process, I guess. Mm-hmm. To start off, I guess, last year WSWM had a $30,000 from the SA Festival, which was a whole different story. But we were trying to do the same thing this year, but the SA decided to pass a $40,000 bill very early in the fall to try and bring Frank Ocean, and they didn't really know how to go about that, so they approached me mm-hmm. about mm-hmm. figuring out how to do that. So I reached out to the agent, and like he was blowing up. He had gotten nominated for the Grammy. It quickly mm-hmm. became an option.
Mm-hmm.
At that point, we were kind of regrouping and reaching out to other people, I brought up that Kendrick Lamar had obviously like a huge year, and it happened, and at this point AMP wasn't involved, but it happened that AMP was also hoping to get Kendrick Lamar, but mm-hmm. Neither organization could have the money to bring him by themselves, because he ended up being, I think, $65,000.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Okay.
So between the $40,000, a little bit more from the SA ended up being kicked in, and then AMP Spring Concert, it was about $30,000. Just combined the funds, mm-hmm, and mm-hmm. it was pursued, and it ended up working out.
Okay, so, and it's, so in terms of the, it's like AMP and WMWC Present, right? I mean, is it double billing in terms of?
It's become, how the names have gone on the poster is really just how much money is being put to it. So this year the SA has decided to, instead of like funding things, like they want to be like the organization.
So they want to be the name.
Yeah,
okay.
So
okay.
This year like...
It's Student Assembly that...
Yeah, so okay. The SA like made the Facebook event, and it's been a little... Mm-hmm. AMP wasn't too happy about that, and obviously WSWM, I was, to be honest, a bit frustrated.
Right.
But so it goes.
So, you know, okay, so, I mean, it's, and then Big Boy is just, is he on tour with Kendrick, or, I mean, how did he get added in?
It happens that Big Boy is on the same booking agency as Kendrick, so we had a little bit more funding, mm-hmm. and we kind of had, like, all right, here's, like, some names that could work,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
and very quickly, like, oh, Big Boy's an option, we should absolutely do that.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Sorry, I keep coughing.
Oh, yeah, no problem. So, okay, So, and now, of course, you know, it's coming up. It's going to be great. But walk me through a little bit, though. Like, how are the names even generated? You know what I mean? I mean, besides the fact that you're like, perhaps we can think about Kendrick Lamar. I mean, other than the fact that you're thinking, oh, we could do this. I mean, is there like a voting process? Do you know, like, everyone puts down like a list of three names and you start scratching off names? I mean,
what's the way that works out? We were all like pitching ideas, and since I was the one reaching out to the agencies, I had a little bit more control on like what we ended up going after. But I actually brought up Kendrick Lamar much earlier in the process, and at that point, DSA didn't really know who he was. Mm-hmm. And then he got a little bit bigger, and like now, obviously, like he's a huge deal. Mm-hmm. But it took like kind of two pitches to like get them to pursue that. And then the second time around, they're like, "Oh yeah, like we should absolutely do that." And then we just kind of went at it over winter break.
Mm-hmm. So, and is there a sense of what other what other campuses are putting on in the state? I mean, is that something that you guys consider or even look at?
I don't normally consider it for smaller events. I don't really do that for radio. But for this, it was brought up. And I believe Wake Forest is also having Kendrick Lamar at some point.
Yeah, I mean, within the last year, you know, he's done Virginia Tech.
Yeah.
And I think he's did UVA as well, so.
Yeah, I know he was going to play VCU, but then he got bigger, so, like, he dropped out of their concert. Mm-hmm. But, it was more, the decision is, we think, like, this person is going to have an appeal to
and
personally like them as well.
I just meant in terms of like the fact that as a way of even just sort of selling, like, we should get this person because they've already done X, Y, and Z, and that was a great fit, so it would be a great fit here too.
It wasn't really
And just broadly, or not broadly, but generally, is there a lot of talk between other campuses? I mean, are there relationships or connections between other? Okay.
No, I wish there was. Mm-hmm. I've sort of reached out before, but it almost non-existent.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Okay, so. So outside of the sort of institutional cultures of the radio station and AMP, what other types of hip hop culture are you aware of that's been on campus while you've been a student here?
I know that obviously a student hip hop organization exists. I have some friends who've been very into it, but like most. But, I mean, similarly to the radio, like, if you're not AMP, you just don't have funding for events, so mm-hmm. they're not as big as, like, UVA's SHHO, which I feel bad for them, because I think it would be really cool if they had more funding. And then, obviously, there's things like the B-Boys and stuff like that, but my sense is there hasn't been a community of students who are, besides, like, more like frat kids who are doing hip hop at like Homebrew. There hasn't been like people performing hip hop or teaming up on this campus doing that.
Okay, and what is Homebrew?
Homebrew is AMP's like student concerts at Lodge One on Wednesdays or Thursdays. I actually don't know. But it's kind of what the college always points to that they're providing, like, well, students can perform here at Homebrew and Lodge One,
and you're like, well, it's a little bit different between people that are actively pursuing a career in music and con students.
Yeah, I mean, Lodge One is just, and I've
and it's a venue space.
Yeah, it's a terrible venue space.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think the acoustics are rough at a lot of spots on campus. Okay, so has hip hop been a subject of academic study during your time at school?
Not for me. I know some people who've taken classes here. I think one signed up for a class over the summer, but ended up dropping it because, a lot of classes, I just was not, she thought that it was going to be good, but, it just was underwhelming.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So it hasn't been a big, driving part of, people who I know who are in hip-hop haven't really, done mm-hmm. it academically, if that makes sense.
Okay. Yeah, no, definitely. And so, get rid of these. Okay, so let's see. So we've run down academics, run down a little bit your role with both a radio station and an amp. I'm curious about actually going to shows. Do you go to a lot of shows, sort of outside campus?
I try to. I wouldn't say a lot, just because it's always a trek to get to Charlottesville or the Norba or something like that.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I mean, once a year I go to the fall CMJ, which is the it used to be. I mean, it's still a college radio mm-hmm. festival in New York City. It's more just a festival now. It's not really college radio based, but I certainly try when there's someone who's extra appealing to get out to Charlottesville or mm-hmm. the Norva.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And in terms of, have you seen, in terms of, we'll just say hip hop, have you been able to, travel for any of those shows?
I had tickets to Tyler, the Creator, mm-hmm. this Sunday. I couldn't end up going because I was running the Aaron Carter concert and that went super long.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So I think that would have been the first hip hop show I had been to while here in Williamsburg though.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so now any other experience or thoughts in terms of just sort of hip hop culture on campus? I mean, is it something that's very popular with campus culture in general?
I don't think so.
Okay.
I think it should be. Mm-hmm. I think it merits it, but I think music culture or really any pop culture isn't really big here.
Any thoughts on why it's not?
I think it's a few different reasons. I think one, just the attitude here is a lot of people here are just here to study, so they're not going to be doing these more outside or expressive things.
Mm-hmm.
I think there isn't a suitable venue for people to perform, so there aren't going to be I want to pursue and actually finish this album or song I'm working on so I can perform for my friends. That doesn't exist
mm-hmm.
Outside of places like the Meridian or
mm-hmm.
A show here or there.
Mm-hmm.
So that's part of it. It's just not the focus of the school, it feels.
Mm-hmm.
And when a place when AMP or the SA has pretty much all the money or all mm-hmm. the influence and they're not doing that, it's hard for
right.
If student hip hop organization had more money,
right,
they could be hosting shows and people could be getting excited about it, but they don't have the money.
Right.
So
right.
so mm-hmm. when the people in power and have the money aren't doing that,
mm-hmm.
that's how the mm-hmm. culture of the campus goes.
So you mentioned Meridian, even though I guess that's technically that's a campus spot, right? That's still part of campus down there. But are there other I don't know, informal or underground venues where folks are performing?
There's been the occasional house show, but the campus police are very strict about shutting those down. So it's whenever it has like sort of become a thing, it's been just immediately shut down. I ran.
So I mean, do you mean like campus police going into like off-campus neighborhoods and shutting stuff down?
Or? It's usually taking place like close to like so yeah I guess off-campus housing but
close enough that it's right.
I threw shows at the Crust for a little while because they were funding like the radio to do some shows, and then I wanted to see if that could be turned into a sort of thing. Like, it wasn't like a great venue for it though, and it just like it didn't really work out.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I've talked to the Greenleaf about they're planning on opening up their basement again. They're thinking of doing shows again.
What is that, like 5 years now?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that might be a future possibility, but it's really the Meridian is where
mm-hmm.
any shows are happening.
Mm-hmm. Oh, actually, I just remembered, would you mind talking a little bit about involvement with the film festival?
Mm-hmm.
You know, because I know not only this year, but also last year, right? Because Streets and Shakespeare's Ghost, that was a part of the film festival?
That was actually part of WCWM Fest. And
okay.
The film festival,
WCWM
Festival was like bringing all these things like SSHO and the film, like things that we thought should be like a bigger deal and like, we all kind of come together mm-hmm. under like this culture festival. So yeah, that was like partially film festival.
Okay.
It was
okay.
Dystopian Fest. But yeah, I this year I interned for the film festival, and I think Barnard and them are really solid. And
mm-hmm.
I think if the opportunity arose to like be doing more like music shows or stuff like that, they absolutely would. It's just. Once again, there wasn't the venue for it. Like we wanted to do an after concert like we did last year. Last year we had a indie pop. It was the Susan and some local bands.
Mm-hmm.
But we wanted to do something again this year, but you can't really do that at the Dog Street Pub, which is where the after party ended up being.
Yeah, that's what I remember. He was talking about that there. It's like. Once it hits like what, like midnight or something, you know, in terms of sound, like you can't even do it that way, or
it's just, I mean, the space for it, like you go in there and like it's just not the space for a dance place.
Right? Oh
like,
yeah,
and the tables are so heavy, like it's just
yeah, and the acoustics are awful.
Right,
in terms
of acoustics are awful. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean that bank. I mean it's a bank vault. So, okay, so now. I think we want to transition off of sort of the William and Mary. I mean, I think we ran that down. I mean, is there any other thing that starts to get in your mind in terms of campus culture and hip hop that we haven't talked about?
Not anything that's huge, I guess.
Mm. Oh, actually, I guess do you have a sense of hip hop campus culture, William and Mary, as compared with VCU, ODU, you know, UVA, Virginia Tech, the other schools in Virginia. I mean, can you make an informed?
Not a super informed one. I've heard stories of their SHHO programs being much more strong and a really big deal, and I certainly would assume that a place like Charlottesville or Richmond has more natural venues. That are outside of the school would have a more thriving hip hop culture, but I can't like point to like this
mm-hmm.
or that.
So in terms of thinking about sort of Virginia hip hop history, do you have a sense or a knowledge or an idea of history of hip hop in Virginia?
I have the sort of loose one of like people coming out of Newport News or Virginia Beach area, like
mm-hmm.
clips and stuff like that, but I don't have a super in-depth one.
Mm-hmm. Now, are you someone who goes to frequents record stores?
My freshman year, I sort of did when we still had Play Mine, mm-hmm. But that closed before my freshman year was even over, and there's not another record store mm-hmm. in town.
No, there isn't, and it's, I mean, this is obviously a question that's more geared towards older folks, but just curious in terms of, so when you buy albums, I mean, are you buying digitally? I mean, how do you consume and purchase music?
Now I just do it through Spotify.
Okay, so now are you subscribing to Spotify, or because I forgot if it was free or not? But
I subscribe. It's, you know, it's like Netflix. It's like $9.99 a month. I can listen on my phone. I can not have any commercials and listen as much as I want.
Okay, so yeah, okay, the subscription, they cut out the commercials.
Yeah, I haven't really had a play. I might. Get a record player if I end up moving somewhere where like I would have people over to listen to music, but like I just wouldn't listen to vinyl just by myself.
Right. Well, and also it's hard to, especially, you know, at this moment in your life. I mean, that would be a pain in the ass too.
Yeah, I mean it's very easy to just have a laptop. Mm-hmm. Or iPhone and display from there.
So in terms of, I would imagine that's just sort of the overall culture of music consumption is these days, especially among your peers.
Yeah, most people are starting to get into Spotify, or like YouTube is obviously a really big one. So if you're playing a song for someone quickly, you would just go to YouTube.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've been. That's something that that I've been really sort of surprised that really took me sort of off guard, that the folks are using YouTube quite a bit, and then the way that is. But it is nice that you can convert back and forth. Yeah. So
that's I think if my friends are buying music, they're doing it to support the artist rather than having to buy the music. Like, it's almost as if they're donating music by buying their music.
Mm, I see.
Donating money by buying
music. Yeah, I see what you mean. That right. That we appreciate you. We want you to keep doing what you're doing. Yeah. So I'm going to make an investment in your artistic career.
Which probably isn't the best way to do that. But.
Well, yeah, but I mean, I don't think... I'm sure that the artist is... Whatever your reason is, as long as you're buying it, I'm cool. So, just curious about do you have a sense or an idea or just your general thoughts on the state of hip-hop culture in Virginia?
I don't think I've gotten out of Williamsburg in Virginia, like mm-hmm. my hometown to... I mean, I've certainly been to places like Richmond and Charlottesville, but I haven't, like, been there long enough to really, like, get deeply into it. Mm-hmm. I know on a outside of hip-hop side, there seems to be more bands coming out of Virginia as of late, which is interesting to me. Mm-hmm. But I haven't followed the local hip-hop as mm-hmm. much.
Yeah, I mean, do you have a sense of folks that are from Virginia? That are hip hop artists. I mean, is that even something that you're sort of like, oh, I know that this is a Virginia artist.
I don't really know that as much.
All right. So now, kind of want to this is gonna be the sort of the last section of the interview, and gonna talk sort of generally about hip hop and how it may or may not have. Touch your life in some way. So, I mean, the first thing is, has hip-hop had any sort of impact on your life?
I think going back to, like, being really into well-informed pop songs, like, just that idea, hip-hop is one of the things that was allowed me to, like, flesh that out very clearly, mm-hmm. and was able to see the value of taking it to like writing or what I like in film, things that are just like a beat or something that's just like a hook or something like that is just very accessible, and like the value of that, and then how you can have like a very like complex narrative over that, but like mm-hmm. if you have like hip hop is just like very clear, like you have a hook and you have
right.
like a very like cool beat that's just like hits very quickly,
mm-hmm.
And then you can see people who are just doing amazing things over those. Mm.
So you know, in terms of sort of the craft that's involved with genre, you're interested in the way that people, artists can play with genre.
I think what I'm saying is I'm interested in like the simple kind of the goal of it all. I don't know. I guess I don't really understand what you're saying about that.
Oh, just in terms of like, you know, there's generic conventions to everything in the way that you tell a story, make a song, you know, mm-hmm. a film, and it seems that you're interested in that. What sort of interested you in hip hop is that it has a very upfront conventions about appealing to any popular culture, sort of mass cultural appeal, but then within those conventions, the folks that are doing interesting things with it are sort of playing with it and layering it in a way that so that it's not all just surface, I guess. And in ways it seems that and so is that something that you see that happens more in terms of hip hop as a popular culture, or that's just things that you're attracted to across different forms of culture?
I think why I'm drawn to it is similar to other things in culture, but mm-hmm. I think a hip hop song is like a very like easy thing to point to, like for why I like something that might be a little bit more, I don't know, not as just my I think a hip hop song gets at it much more easily mm-hmm. in simpler terms than the others.
So what do you think is hip hop's impact on American culture?
I think it has had a big impact. It's a lot of, I don't know, it's pretty complex.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, certainly like in racial terms, like it has had a huge impact of just exposure and like exposure of like a way of life or exposure of a culture to a mm-hmm. wider audience.
Mm-hmm.
It's certainly hugely affected what we value as good or bad, and mm-hmm. whether it be in music or in art or fashion.
Mm-hmm.
I think it added a lot more self-awareness to art and culture.
Mm-hmm.
So instead of people valuing bands that, or music that has like very like complex like scales that are layered over each other, like just kind of like, well, that's kind of silly and maybe self-involved, like maybe just take it simpler, like we're here to, obviously not all hip-hop, but like just more like hitting at a more like laid back or like base level
mm-hmm.
desire.
Mm-hmm.
I guess those are some things.
So, you know, in terms of my little cheat sheet, we did it, you know, hooray. You know, is there anything that, like I didn't ask that I should have asked? And also, or anything you want to add?
I guess I would just add that I really wish organizations like SHHO, I guess is, outside of hip hop, but just mm-hmm. but more just like music culture or more like contemporary culture in general. I wish it had a higher value on this campus. Mm-hmm. And for example, an organization like SHHO, I wish they were able to have more influence and more funding, mm-hmm. So that things like this could have a role in campus instead of being throw an event and maybe like a couple students go. Mm-hmm. Like that's very frustrating, and like I don't think that should be what mm-hmm. the culture is.
Mm-hmm.
But, I don't know.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's good. I mean, if you're cool, I'm cool. So again, Todd, thanks so much for sitting down and adding your voice to the College of William & Mary Hip Hop Collection.
Of course. Thank you for inviting me.